Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So praise the Lord. We thank God for another blessed day. We are once again on Who Persecuted the People of the Kingdom, Part 4, and we have been dealing with you directly on who persecuted the people of the early church and who will be persecuting the latter church today. Amen. And we're looking tonight in Revelation chapter 12. And as we wait for my brother to come on, wherever you listen to me at, won't you pray with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, because you are God. And besides you, there is no other. Lord God, we ask today that you will bless us as we take this journey into your word. Help us, Lord God, to understand the word of God. By your spirit, release unto us the revelation that we need. So, Lord God, we give you glory and honor, and we magnify you. Help us to rightly divide your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12, and my brother, he'll be coming on to join me in a minute. Revelation chapter 12, and since we have a 30-minute broadcast today, I might take a couple verses and then turn it over to the hands of my brother. Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 1. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And the word of God says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now, the word of God is telling us here that, and this is what John the Revelator saw. He said he saw a great wonder in heaven, and he described it as a woman clothed with the sun. Now, we want to understand that what he saw and what it was representing was not a literal woman. Symbolically, in the scriptures, now all scriptures where it mentioned woman is not referring to someone symbolically, it is referring to someone literally, a female. On the symbolic side, a woman represents the church or a church, okay? Just like in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ told the husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So he's comparing the husband to Christ and the wife to the church, okay? Then we know in Revelation 19, it talks about the bride, the wife of Christ, have made herself ready. And so the way God set up marriage, the female is called the wife, okay? So symbolically in scriptures, a woman represents a church. It can represent a good church or an evil church. Now here in Revelation 12 and 1, it's representing a good church, which is the church of Christ, okay? And she was clothed with the sun, which represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? Hallelujah. But see, notice that the moon was under her feet, and the moon represents the old law of Moses, which is no longer in effect. Remember, Christ had fulfilled it, okay? So that's why it was under her feet, but she's clothed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the thing now, the gospel. Amen. and upon her head were a crown of 12 stars. Now, the 12 stars represent the 12 apostles, those who are closest in authority to Christ. Okay? I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother. God bless. Okay, we seem to be having some more technical difficulties. And he'll be calling back in a minute. Satan, we bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebukes you. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And it says in verse 2, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. She was in her, quote, labor pain stage, okay, and she was to give birth to this child, okay. Hallelujah. She was travailing in birth. Okay. Hallelujah. And pain to be delivered. So she's in the labor pain stage. Try this again. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. How are you?
Bless, brother. God bless you. Thank God for you joining us. We are in Revelation 12. I'm looking at a couple of verses here because we'll be continuing on this with tomorrow, since we have a short broadcast tonight. And we're talking about who persecuted the people of the kingdom. And we have been sharing with the people that it was Rome, pagan Rome, Roman Catholic Church, you name it, under the direction of Satan, who were persecuting the people of the kingdom. In Revelation 12 and 1, John the Revelator saw this woman, which I explained to them that he didn't see. It wasn't a literal woman was representing. It was representing the church. And symbolically, women are symbolically represent churches in the scriptures, whether it's good or bad. And she was clothed with the sun, which represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in the book of Corinthians, it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ shining, okay? And that's what we know a sun does. It shines, okay? So she was clothed with the sun, the gospel, which is now. The moon being under her feet, representing the old law of Moses, is no longer in effect. That's why it's under her feet. And this is why she was clothed with the gospel. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, which signify the 12 apostles, those who are closest in authority to Christ. And that's why the crown was on her head, because the apostles are given the watch care over the whole church. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
And verse 2 says, she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So she's in her labor pain stage, about to give birth to a child. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 3 says, and there appear another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Glory to God. And his tail drew the third part of the stars. Glory to God. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it were born. Now I'm going to stop there because we have a short broadcast tonight. Okay. Now we see this other wonder. Glory to God. And John the Revelator described him as a great red dragon. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, I just mentioned to you symbolically, words also symbolize a different thing. Now, a dragon has a twofold symbolism. Number one, according to Revelation 20, And even in verse 9 here in this 12th chapter of Revelation, the dragon signifies the devil, okay? The devil is called that old dragon, okay? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, because we remember we have been talking to you about what Jesus said about the violence, okay? The violence. And we have been showing to you and going in the scriptures with you to show you that, hey, Satan is violent. He is the violent. But his men also, glory be to God, under the rulership of Satan. And so is this great dragon. This dragon represents, first of all and foremost, Satan and its glory. And it also represents men under the service of Satan. Okay? There was a Reverend Benjamin Slight. He wrote a book called Apocalypse Explained. And he talks about near the beginning of the third century, how he says the figure of a dragon was used as a Roman standard. Do you hear that? Now, notice that the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, I'm going to stop there. And I want you to think about it. Think about literally. If a man or something was waiting to devour a child, wouldn't you call him violent? I would. Okay. You know, you're ready to devour a child. Amen. Glory be to God. And so it shows here that Satan is violent, okay? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to stop it here, and I'm going to turn it over to the hands of my brother. Glory be to God. Take it away, brother.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. I'm picking up where my brother left off, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this red dragon here, okay, this great red dragon represents two things, okay? Like my brother was telling you, okay, represents both the devil, okay, which is the original. Now, you should write this down if you don't ain't going to remember this, okay, that the great red dragon, hallelujah, this great red dragon represents the devil, and all his demons, okay? His demonic network. So you could put down number one, dragon, the red dragon, and his demons. And
yeah.
Representation, okay? And then number two, you could put down, hallelujah, the number two dragon is Rome, okay? Which is his,
amen.
Which is his. His natural, hallelujah, his natural image on the earth, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We already told you that Satan rules in the earth, okay? And we gave you many scriptures, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus, when Jesus Christ was tempted, hallelujah, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, okay? When he was tempted, The devil came to him, and he told him that in one of those temptations, he told him, he said, all these things are mine.
Amen.
Okay, and the devil was making him know that, and the devil was when the devil said that, he wasn't lying. Everything
what?
The devil says is a lie. Okay, he is a liar. Okay, that's true, but everything he says is not a lie. Okay. But that much was true, okay? Because, well, if you look at the world, you can see that the world belongs to Satan mostly, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, God can overrule Satan, okay? And creatively, okay, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything, okay? Everything belongs to God, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
But that because everything belongs to God, that we have to obey God. Okay?
Yeah.
So God is not a tyrant. He's not a tyrant. Hallelujah. He wants us to obey his commandments. He wants us to walk in holy ways, but he will not make us walk according to what he wants us to be, okay? We must choose to walk that way, okay? Thank you, Jesus. It's not an automatic thing, okay? And the earth is not God's just because we sit there and say, oh, we belong, oh, the earth belongs to God. Yeah, earth does belong to God. Hallelujah. In the creative, in the creative, okay, him being the creator and maker of everything, okay, and him having the final judgment of everything, okay, it does belong to him, okay? But God is a God, hallelujah, that gives us, like he told you before, he gives us rights. He gives us what else? Freedom. What else he give us? He gives us liberty to pick and choose to go to hell. Okay? That's right. You can actually pick and choose to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's your choice. You can sit there and argue all you want, okay, that's not your choice, that you don't want to go to hell. Yes, you apparently do want to go to hell, because if you go there, that's where you want to go. And you can argue and all you want to say, oh, I don't want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. Now, you want to have your cake and eat it too. That's what you wanted, okay? You wanted to have fun on earth and do whatever you want to do on earth, okay? All the evil that you want to do. And then you still want to be able to say, oh, God, now he's going to weigh my good over my evil that I did in this life, okay? And then he's going to let me in. People like to think that way. It ain't that way. It ain't no balancing trick, okay? God don't balance. God don't have no balances, okay? In that way, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Where he comes at the final judgment, God says, let me see if you did more good than you did evil.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And then see if your good outweigh your bad. That ain't how God judge. God judge whether you did or was not, okay? Whether you did what? Two things you have to do to be saved, okay? You have to repent of your sins, okay, and turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior, okay? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at the end of your life, that's going to be the reason why you're going to go to hell, okay? That main reason right there, Amen. That you didn't know Jesus, right?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, and then the other reason is you died in your sins.
Yeah.
If you died in your sins, oh, hallelujah, whether you call yourself a sinner or a saint, you're going to go to hell.
Amen.
You're not going to be admitted. You're not going to be admitted to. If you have any sin in you when you go to hell, when you die, you're not going to enter to hell, enter to heaven. Okay, because there's no place for a person that has a double, which called double spirit, double mind, okay, double heart in heaven, okay? You either belong to Jesus or you don't belong to him, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, this, how much time I got here? All right. All right. Now, this great red dragon, okay, if you don't understand this right now, okay, well, we've been telling you this, okay, but we're going to keep hammering it, we're going to keep nailing it, we're going to keep putting it to you, okay, and telling you that this, about this red dragon. We want to put it in your mind and continually put it before you so that you will consider it, okay, and so you can meditate on it so that you can think on it, okay, because you have to think on these things, okay, in order for them, hallelujah, because these things are really, the thing that we're saying to you, it's not in everybody's mind, okay? It's not in most people's mind at all, okay? So
Amen.
This is the spiritual thing we're talking about, so you have to keep putting it before you so that you can understand what we're talking about, okay? And so that it won't become dull in your mind. You say, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. Well, at first you didn't know what we were talking about, but since you've been listening to these blog talks, you should know some of this by now. Thank you, Jesus, because you've been listening to it,
Amen.
Right? Now, this great red
Amen.
Dragon, okay, which represents both Rome and the devil, okay, in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the seventh chapter, this same dragon is called a beast, okay? the great beast, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The wild beast, okay? Hallelujah. And it has the same seven. It has the same it has the same what's called it, the seven heads. And that place is has like seven horns. Okay? It has seven seven horns, okay, and ten crowns. Okay? So it's the same thing, okay? But it's a different there, okay? All right? So but it's the same beast, okay? And then Daniel will tell you about this beast is gonna be so ferocious. We're gonna get to that later. But that beast is gonna be so ferocious, okay? It's gonna be different than all the other four beasts, all the other three beasts that was before it, okay? Now we told you that the first three beasts, one represents Babylon, okay? Got that?
Amen.
Number two represents who? Media Persia, okay? Number three represents who? Greece, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We told, and then you get down to the fourth one, which is the beast. It is called the beast because it's indescribable, because it's a combination of different nations, okay? Because it was not in Rome. Rome represents a lot of different things, okay? It's not just one country, okay? It represents one. It says one country, but it represents a conglomeration of all those other three beasts, okay? You know those other three beasts that came before?
Mm-hmm.
It's a conglomeration of all that stuff, okay? Because Rome conquered everything. Each one of those nations conquered the nation after it, okay? And they absorbed those people, okay? And they became a part of those people. All those nations became like one. This is the same way that Rome did, okay? All the nations that all these other ones had conquered, they came a part of Rome, okay? Or Italy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Now this is a Rome did more conquering than anybody else ever did. Okay, they went throughout all of Europe. They went to India. They went all kind of places, man. They went everywhere. They was everywhere. The Roman Empire was vast. Okay, very, and that's why it was so hard for them to control it, because she was so big. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now this beast here that appeared before this woman, okay? Who is the head of Rome? Who is the head of Rome? The head of Rome is who? Is the emperor. Okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now at one time do you know that Rome was ruled by by the emperor, and it was kind of overseen by the Senate. Okay, they had a Senate. Did you know that?
Amen.
That the Senate is the one that gave Rome its power, because the Senate was made of all the richest people in Rome. That's what the Senate was, okay? If you wasn't rich, you couldn't be a senator, okay? So you had to be filthy rich, okay? So you can make those calls, okay? But it came a time when they elected the emperors as what? They made them overall emperors. They gave them supreme right that whatsoever they said, okay, they could do. And they wasn't under the hand of the Senate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the ones that came from under the hand of the Senate was, hallelujah, Augustus, okay? Now, Augustus, you read about Augustus in the Bible, okay? Augustus, he's the one that called what? He called for Jerusalem to be taxed, okay? And for the Jews to be taxed, right? And that's
how Mary
ended up going to, hallelujah, to Bethlehem, okay? Because she wasn't even there. And that scripture was fulfilled when they did that, okay? So they didn't know they were working God's work when they did that, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Lord used Rome many things, okay, to bring about many his things that he wanted to bring about, okay? Hallelujah. Sometimes when you disobedient to Christ, I mean, when you disobedient to God, okay, and you had the Jewish people, okay, sometimes God had to let things go on them, okay? God had to let things loose on them, okay, to keep them in order. Thank you, Jesus. And so Rome was sent there to you because you was becoming a devil. Jewish people was becoming little devils, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because by the time Jesus Christ came, they had made up all kind of laws of their own. Thank you, Jesus. The Jewish leaders had made up so many different laws besides the laws that Moses had given them, okay? Now, those laws that God gave them through Moses, those laws was good, okay? But the laws that they made of themselves afterwards, those laws was not, okay? And Jesus tell you about some of those laws in the fifth chapter, the sixth chapters of Matthew, okay? Thank you, Jesus. When he said...
Amen.
When he said, your law says this, but I say, tell you this, okay? He's telling you what the way it's really supposed to be, okay? And so sometimes they got out of pocket with God, so God had to send governments and things like that to get them straight, just like he had to do back in the times of the prophets, okay? Sometimes God had to get them straight by sending people
Amen.
Like Nebuchadnezzar. He would send people like Nebuchadnezzar to get them straight. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. So you have
Amen.
To like a devil send the devil after you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to end it tonight. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb.
Amen.
I'll pick it up tomorrow night with Derek.
Amen.
Okay?
We're going to definitely do that. We're going to continue on with it because my brother is giving you some very important information. And this 12th chapter is giving you history, and it's also giving you what is to come. And as my brother break it down to you, like he said, we're not rolling through it fast. We giving this to you that you may understand the early Christians and what's going to happen in this day and time. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. Be on part 5 of Who Persecuted the People, the Kingdom People. So thank
Amen.
God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you. God bless you. God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, brother.
God bless you, brother.